Good morning. Welcome to Noble Assembly of God today. Let's stand up in His presence.
Amen, amen, amen. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord this morning? Would you just put your hands up? I don't know what you've been carrying this week. Maybe you've got some burdens. Maybe you've got some things. Maybe you've got some worries this morning. But let's just allow our hands being lifted to be a signal to the Lord of surrender. So whether it be feeling under the weather today or this week, whether it be anxiety from work or life situation, whether it be someone right now you know who needs a healing touch, or maybe it's a financial need today, whatever it would be, Lord, this morning we lift our hands up to You in surrender. We start the service, Lord, in an attitude of surrender. Lord, that our goal would be that nothing that we've carried throughout the week, that nothing that we've carried throughout the week would hold us back from what you want to do in our lives today. And so, Lord, we pray that the worship would just be lifted up in a greater way today. We pray that the word of the Lord would saturate our hearts in a deeper way today. And Lord, we ask right now that you would just be in this place. Lord, we don't want anything to hold us back this morning. We're giving it all to you. We're surrendering it all to you this morning, right off the bat, so that we can have a clear path between you and us as you do in our lives what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Take a journey with us down Route 66.
The world has changed in this last year and a half, but yet the need for the gospel hasn't changed.
I'm going to be traveling across America.
The Route 66 tour is to remind people as we go across the country that God has not forgotten us. This pandemic hasn't changed the need for the gospel. And we're following Route 66 all the way down to San Bernardino, going up to 8 different cities.
We have music, preach the gospel, give an invitation, people get saved.
God loves you, okay?
Our prayer is for a spark of revival in this community.
It's really easy for people to say yes to a free concert. And hopefully by the end of the night, it's really easy for people to say yes to Jesus.
Jesus Christ is God's Son. I want the world to know that.
Just walk out, bring your chair, and sit and listen.
Very important to be a volunteer. From the very first training I went to today, it is a well-oiled machine.
To be a part of the team is just like nothing but blessing upon blessing.
I want you to stand to your feet and accept Christ by faith. And by standing, you're saying to God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I want to trust him as my Savior, and I want to follow him as my Lord from this day forward.
I may not get another chance like this. I got to give my life fully to Christ, which I've never done before.
I feel alive. I feel clean. I feel forgiven.
When I said that prayer, I know God forgave me. And all the things that I left here tonight, it's not going home with me.
This doesn't happen just sitting in a pew. This doesn't happen watching it on TV. You got to step up, show up, and live it.
Tour, come on now. How many want the world to know that God loves them? Come on, in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of division, God is the great reconciliator, isn't it? He's the one who brings reconciliation. And so I'm just excited about that we were chosen, Oklahoma City was chosen as one of the stops for this tour. And want to encourage you to participate on Saturday, September 25th. It'll be at the Oklahoma State Capitol. It starts at 7 p.m. on the South Lawn. And we had ran out of signs, so we got some more signs. So would really love for you, encourage you to grab a sign. They're free. We've already put them all together, and just grab one as you leave today and stick it in your lawn, all right? It's great advertisement and a way to let your neighbors know, your community know that this is happening, and would love for you to get them to be a part of that. So grab a sign, okay? It'll be awesome. We also have, can you believe it? Summer is over, folks. Summer is over. We're back into school. How many moms are saying amen? Come on now. Come on. No, not saying amen. There's a few of you that I felt the relief. I saw it went right off your shoulders. And but we're back into the school year, and that means that we'll be starting Connect groups up pretty quick, and so be watching the foyer for information about that. And I want to encourage you to become part of a Connect group. One of the reasons is because it helps us to connect with one another. And sometimes you come in here and you leave here, and you don't get connection with people. Our desire as a pastoral staff is that nobody's needs or concerns or life would fall through the cracks. And we don't want you just to come in and feel like you're not noticed or not known. We want community and family and connection. And so that's what we're trying to do through Connect Groups, and would love for you to be a part of one. And then the Daughters Conference is coming up just around the corner, September 10th and 11th. You can see my wife, Kelly. She's waving. Yep. Or Miss Carol. She's in the back sound booth back there, and she's waving. Yep. And either one you can see, and they'll get you signed up. They've already got a great group registered and would love for you to be a part of those things. Want to welcome really quick our visitors. If this is your first time here, we have a card in the seat back in front of you. If you would just simply take that out and fill it out and then place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit here, that would give us a record of your attendance, and that would be awesome. We would really, really, really appreciate that. Well, will you put your hands together and welcome Pastor as he comes to share with us some thoughts.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. I just wanted to take a moment to talk about our Tractor for Trent project. About 4 or 5 months ago, we felt led, after Trent and Tina Morrow was with us, they mentioned the need to have a tractor there at the Teen Challenge Center in Uruguay. And the cost of that tractor would be $30,000. And I really felt like the Lord just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, Steve, I want you and Noble Assembly of God to go and try to tackle that. And so for the last about 4 or 5 months, we're at about halfway. We need 30,000. We're at 15. And so the deadline is September 1. They're trying to have that tractor here in the next couple of weeks by September 1. So we've just got a deadline up on us. And I'd like to do two things. I'd like to just mention that. And if you'd like to give, I'm going to give some money today. I've got $500 that I'm going to give. I had saved some money back to put a new top on my Cobra Mustang convertible, and the Lord said, no, I want you to give that towards the tractor. I said, okay, Lord. So my Cobra top is going towards the tractor in Uruguay, and that's okay with me. But maybe the Lord will speak to your heart either now or between now and next Sunday and say, you know what, I want you to be involved with that. But I want you to listen to the heart of Trent Morrow. I've got him here. I told him I was going to call him at 10:40, and that's about what time it is. So I just want him to tell you about what this means.
Hello, this is Trent Morrow.
Hey, Trent, it's Pastor Steve. We're here at the church in service, and I've just been telling the people about our vision to help you get a tractor and Trent. So would you just take a moment and speak to the people as I'm holding the mic here to my phone?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say thank you already for what you have done and what you have raised. It's amazing. I just talked with the director of the Teen Challenge, who's also a pastor of that church. And I told him, I said, be praying. I talked to him yesterday, and I said, be praying. They have the church that sponsors this Teen Challenge praying. I know a tractor, it's not an exciting project sometimes to say a tractor, but this tractor represents a whole lot more. We had a tractor that was over 50-some-odd years old. It was used when they got it. And it's just God in 2019. I happened to have a tractor I was using on a different project that we didn't need anymore. Just a small little bitty Kubota tractor that I was able to donate to them to use. And we've been trying to raise for over 2 years now for this tractor. And so this tractor, I mean, it's about 30 some odd acres where we use it. And it's all that produce goes to helping with the Teen Challenge. But we also have a situation where we got a prison ministry where these guys are coming out of prison and they're doing a halfway house there at the Teen Challenge. And so even that food that's produced from that that farm is able to be helping those guys come out of jail and have a fresh start and have a kind of a new place to begin. And so they help at the farm some as well. And so it's very connected to changing lives. And so I just want to just encourage you. This is a great need, and we've been praying for it for 2 years. And really, there's no way with the current economic situation in Uruguay, the churches are still at 50% capacity. Many of our pastors there's just no income coming in. And so this is just something that would never be able to happen in Uruguay at this point in time. But I think God still does miracles. And he still changes lives. And I just want to say thank you for your heart, Pastor Steve, and thank you for your church. It makes a difference. it makes a difference.
Well, we're glad to help, Trent, and we thank you for taking the call this morning. I know you're probably stepped out of a church service yourself, and so thank you for sharing with us today, and we're going to do our best to pray and believe that this money will come in, that we'll be able to get that tractor there and in the Teen Challenge Center there, and they'll be able to put it to good use for the kingdom.
I greatly appreciate it. It is such a need because we just don't know how much longer this small tractor is going to last, and once that's over with, there's really no options. And so we just really appreciate any help that you guys can put towards it to help us get that.
All right. Thank you, Kent or Trent. Have a good day.
You too. God bless you all.
All right. Bye-bye. I just wanted you to hear from him and right from his heart today as we look at this. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that there is no shortage in your kingdom. I thank you, Father God, that you have all the riches of the kingdom at your disposal. And I just pray, Father God, that you would just move upon the hearts of the people that you want to be involved in this. Lord, I just thank you for the money that's already been given. Some have already given, you know, several hundred dollars toward this. And I thank you for their faithfulness and their obedience. I pray, God, that you help us to get this need met. And Lord, just supply every need for this miracle, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have our ushers go ahead and come, and this will be our regular offering, but if you want to give towards the tractor, put tractor for Trent. Tractor for Trent. Amen. Brother Jeremy, would you pray for the offering, please? Amen.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way.
Breaking.
this morning, Jesus? Do you have hope this morning because of Jesus? Amen. Jesus, we praise and glorify your name, God. Jesus, praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. just lift your voices to him this morning. We need to be crying out to him. All of the things that are happening in this earth. The guy on the video said it's not going to happen if we're sitting in our pews. It's not going to happen. We have to take action. We have to be on our knees. We have to be out in the streets. We have to be proclaiming the name of Christ.
Fear, Jesus, Jesus,
You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Say his name. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, your name is powerful. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we glorify you, God. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, God. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. Oh, your name is a light that shadows can't deny, Jesus. Oh, your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, you break strongholds, Jesus. Oh, you are our confidence. Oh, Jesus, you're the healer. You're our healer, God. Oh, Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence our fear, God. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Jesus. We just lift your name, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, may the darkness tremble there in Afghanistan. Lord, let the darkness tremble. Come on, let's intercede in behalf of the people, the troops, and what's happening in Afghanistan. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let the darkness tremble. Oh, Lord Jesus, bring help. Deliver them from evil, we pray. Lord, let your name make the darkness tremble. Oh, Father God. Father God, touch this country, Lord. The second fastest growing church in the world right there in Afghanistan, Father God. Believers fearing for their lives, Lord, touch them right now. Protect them, Lord. Some already given their lives. Comfort their families. But help them stay strong in the face of the enemy. God, we just pray for resolution to this conflict. Not only on that front, but what's happening right here in America, Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done here. Let the darkness tremble at the name of Jesus as the church speaks out and calls out your name in the face of evil. Oh, hallelujah, God. Come on, church, let's stand in the gap for those around our world that are suffering today. Would you just lift your voice to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, touch them right now. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done, God. Move by your Spirit, we pray, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, let your will be done. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. Deliver us from this virus and all the surrounding effects of that. Father God, touch those who are sick. Oh, Father God, have mercy on your people. Have mercy on this nation. Have mercy, Father God, upon the world, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. At your name, the darkness trembles. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you, Lord, that your word is true and powerful. Oh, God, let your church be the light in the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Meet every need, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let us know you now before it is too late. Let us receive you now before it is too late. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us to get that word out, God, that you're coming and that you love people. That you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for their sin, to pay the price for their salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11. Continuing our series on life lessons. Looking at various Bible characters who, though they are long dead, as we'll read in just a moment, they still speak. They still have a word for us, a lesson for us here in 2021. Look at Hebrews 11:4. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for this Sunday, that we can come and be together as the body of Christ in this house. We can sing and worship your name. We can pray together. We can give. We can be instructed and taught in your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to each and every one. In the name of Jesus, amen. Previously, we have gone down the alphabet and we have looked at 11 people from the pages of the Bible. So I'd like for us to review and see how well you listened over the last 3 or 4 weeks and see if you can tell me what Bible character that we looked at, starting with the letter A. Abel. That's right. We looked at Abel a few weeks ago, and the life lesson that he taught us was always seek to do what is right. Always seek to do what is right. How about B? Barnabas. You're right. Barnabas' life lesson to us was to be an encourager. Be someone who lifts others up. How about C? Who? Caleb. That's right. Caleb's lesson for us was to be a faith-filled man or woman of God. How many of that's what you want to be, a faith-filled man or woman of God? How about D? Demetrius. Demetrius, that's right. His life lesson was always seek to be a good example. Remember, we contrasted him with another man in the same verse of Scripture called Diotrephes, who was not a good example. But we want to be like Demetrius. How about E? Enoch. Enoch's lesson for us was to leave a godly legacy. Leave a godly legacy. How about F? Felix. Felix's lesson was don't play games with God. Remember, Felix said, oh, go away, come back again, and let me hear you again later. Let me talk to you more about the Lord at another opportune time. How many of you know that's playing games with God? We need to get serious with God. Amen. How about the letter G? That's right, Gideon. Gideon, his lessons with God, you can do more than you think. H, Hannah. Never forget the power of prayer. God sees. Ira, be sold out the whole route for Jesus. Job, the wind may blow, but never fail to bow in worship. And last of all, two weeks ago, we looked at the last one, K, which was King Hezekiah. And his lesson was don't give the devil an inch. You do that for long, he'll be a ruler in your life. Don't give the devil an inch. Today we're going to look at five more with the letters L, M, N, O, and P. First of all, the letter L. We actually don't know her name, but we know who she is, and that is Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Lot's wife made a big mistake that cost her her life. As God was destroying the wicked city of Sodom because of their terrible sinfulness, Lot's wife, what did she do? She looked back. Let's read the story. Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse 15, and then we're going to skip down and read a couple more. 19:15. It says, at dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, so you see really even Lot himself had a little bit of what was going on with his wife. He was still hesitated to get out of the city. The angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, "Run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." Now skip down to verse 23. Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Wow. Like I said before, even Lot hesitated but was mercifully spared. But his wife did what she was told not to do, and she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Why was that? Because even as she was being spared due to God's grace and due to God's agreement with their uncle Abraham, who interceded for the city and said, "Hey, if I can just find 10 righteous people, will you not destroy the city?" And we know that him and God had went back together 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. But God couldn't even find 10 people who were righteous. And I tell you, I think that Lot and his wife were just barely spared themselves, because they still had some desire to look back and to go back. But at least Lot didn't look back, but his wife did, and she suffered the consequences. Can I tell you that there is not one thing, everybody say one thing, there is not one thing that this world has to offer that is greater than what God has to offer. Not one thing. There's not one thing you should look back for when you start serving the Lord, because the world does not hold a candle. The Lord was giving Lot's family mercy, even though they really didn't deserve it. Yet Lot's wife did not take God's command seriously. Her heart wasn't right, even when she was seeing God's judgment coming. Even as she was starting to see the sulfur rain down and the cities be destroyed, she did not take it serious. I think there's people in our world today that don't take serious the fact that this world is still coming to judgment. There is a coming judgment on the world at some point. We don't want to be here for that. We want to go and be with the Lord. And when he comes, we want to go with him. But there will be judgment of fire and all that's on the world. So people need to get their heart right with God. Not look back to the world, but look to Jesus and be saved. You know, I think it's interesting that even Jesus referred to Lot's wife. If you look at Luke chapter 17, verse 32 and 33, he even referred to Lot's wife. I don't guess I marked it. I'm sorry here. Or I lost a marker. Luke 17, 32. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it." So many, many, many thousands of years later, Jesus referred back to Lot's wife in a sermon, in a teaching, and said, "Don't look back. Be willing to lose everything for the sake of Christ. If whatever you lose in this life, you will find in Christ." Amen. We must be careful that our hearts are not attached to this corrupt world, lest we not be spared when God's judgment comes. We must not be attached to this world. We need to live loosely when it comes to the things of this world. Not be so attached, but be totally and completely attached to the Lord. Amen? Our attitude should be, as the old song says, "Take this whole world, but what? But give me Jesus." No turning back. No turning back. So what's the life lesson from Lot's wife? It's this: seriously follow Jesus and don't look back. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't look back. Keep following the Lord, no matter how hard it may be, no matter if your friends, students, if your friends at school don't follow the Lord like you should, and you know that they're going in the wrong direction, don't go that way. Say, no, you follow me because I'm following Jesus. Be the leader. Don't be the follower. Don't look back. Lot's wife. Number two, M. There's lots of M's in the Bible. Mark, Matthew. Matthew's who we're going to look at, actually. Matthew was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus, but before that, he was a despised tax collector, known for cheating, known for stealing, known for lying. Tax collectors did not have a good reputation at all in those days. Let's see his story. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple. Jesus said to him, so Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus came for the sick. He came for the sinners. We must have the heart of Jesus and be concerned about the lost as well. Matthew not only became a follower of Jesus and then one of the disciples, I want to tell you what else Matthew became. Matthew became a soul winner. Matthew became concerned about the lost. There are a lot of Christians that claim the name of Christ and follow the Lord, but they don't really care that much about the lost. Church, we need to be soul winners. We need to be concerned about the lost. And just the Graham Crusade is a great opportunity to take those invitations and pass them out to people that you know, people at school, people on the job. Say, hey, why don't you come and join me at the Franklin Graham Crusade? What an opportunity. The thing is right in your hand. Take some of those invitations and be concerned about those that don't know the Lord. Verse 10 said, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. He became passionate about the spiritual condition of those that he knew. He wanted those that he used to hang out with, those that he used to walk and talk with and party with and cheat with and steal with, those in his past life to come to know the love and the grace that he has experienced. You know, a person has the most opportunity to win people to Christ when they first get saved, because that's when they know the most sinners. That's when they've hung out with people and they know as the more you and longer that you come to Christ and serve Christ, the less sinners, in a sense, you hang out with. You're not as friends with as many people that are not right with God, because your friends become the church people. And then you have to go out of your way determined to build relationships with non-Christians, with people who you know need Jesus. But when you first get saved, you know all these people. Like the woman at the well, She went back to town and she says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And the Bible says the whole town of Sychar came out to see Jesus. And many, many came to Christ because of her testimony. And so Matthew, he was concerned about those that he knew in his past. The life lesson for this, for Matthew, is have a heart for the harvest. Have a heart for the harvest. Have a heart for the lost. You may be the key to an entire family being changed, which may lead on to the salvation of hundreds of others. You know, at some point, speaking of the Graham family, Billy Graham came to the Lord. I've read his testimony before. I don't have it before me, but he came to the Lord. Well, who would have thought that a young man named Billy would have touched so many thousands and thousands of people? And so you don't know that one person that you may witness to, that get to come to Christ, they may be the key to thousands and thousands of others. Don't think God can't use you. He can and he will, here's the key, if you so desire. If you desire for the Lord to use you to witness to others and to be a soul winner, guess what? God will use you. I'm waiting for all those amens to die down. He will use you. Ask the Lord to help you see the lost the way he does. Ask him to help you to love the people the way he loves people. If you don't have the kind of heart for the harvest and a heart of a soul winner that you know that you ought to have, ask the Lord about it. Pray about it. Say, God, I want to have the heart of a soul winner. I believe the Lord is going to answer that prayer. I think the Lord is all into your honesty and say, Lord, I just don't really care about people like I should. Would you help me with that? And the Lord says, yes, I will. What he don't like is people that don't have a heart for the harvest that never tell him their problem and never talk to him about it and say, Lord, I don't have a real heart for the lost. Many years ago in St. Louis, a lawyer visited a Christian to transact some business. Before the two parted company, his client said to him, I've often wanted to ask you a question, but I've been afraid to do so. Well, what do you want to know? Asked the lawyer. The man replied, I've wondered why you're not a Christian. The man hung his head. I know enough about the Bible to realize that it says no drunkard can enter the kingdom of God, and you know my weakness. You're avoiding my question, continued the believer. Well, truthfully, I can't recall anyone ever explaining how to become a Christian. Picking up a Bible, the client read some passages showing that all are under condemnation, but that Christ came to save the lost by dying on the cross for their sins. By receiving him as your substitute and redeemer, he said, you can be forgiven if you're willing to receive Jesus. Can we pray together? The lawyer agreed, yes. And when it was his turn to speak, he said, oh, Jesus, I am a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. Oh God, forgive my sins and help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life. And right there, he was converted. That lawyer was C.I. Schofield, who later edited the reference Bible that bears his name. You ever heard of the Schofield Bible? That's the story of Mr. Schofield. Because somebody cared enough before they left from their conversation to ask him a question and say, how come you don't know the Lord? We never know what God can do when we step out in faith. Amen? Have a heart for the harvest. And if you realize I don't really have a heart for the harvest like I should, ask God to help you. Say, Lord, let me have your heart. Let me see people the way you do. Lord, give me boldness. Holy Spirit, help me. Empower me to be a bold witness at school, on the job, in the neighborhood, wherever you go. How many of you know God will help you do that? He will give you opportunities that you probably wouldn't otherwise have. Amen. So we've looked at Lot's wife, Matthew. Number three, Nicodemus. His story is found in John chapter 3. Look with me at John 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. And then he gets in a long conversation in which is found the most famous verse probably in the Bible, and that is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In that conversation. It's in this conversation with Jesus that his life is changed. And further conversations. That most famous verse shows up at a lot of nationally televised football games, even today, doesn't it? Somebody will hold up in the end zone.
John 3:16.
The thing we can learn from Nicodemus's life is this. Keep seeking to get closer to God. Keep seeking to get closer to the Lord. You see, at first, we see him coming to Jesus seeking answers. And he was a respected Jewish leader. He was a Pharisee. We see him coming at night. I would say he was the original Nick at night. I think the Holy Spirit began to work in his heart and he began seeking the Lord. Rather privately, he was a little afraid because he was a Pharisee, because he was a very respected leader. So under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he began to question and seek more about this religion called the Way back then. He kept asking questions, thereby still seeking to come to understand, yet not really having the courage to do it openly. Then later, when Jesus is being questioned and even threatened with his life by some of the Jewish leaders that were Nicodemus's peers, Nicodemus came to his defense. If you look at John 7:45, says, when the temple guards returned without having arrested Jesus, the leading priests and Pharisees demanded, why didn't you bring him in? We have never heard anyone speak like this, the guards responded. Have you been led astray too? The Pharisees mocked. Is there a single one of us rulers or Pharisees who believes in him? Yeah, Nicodemus. This foolish crowd follows him, but they are ignorant of the law. God's curse is on them. Notice next time we have Nicodemus mentioned is right here. Then Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, where we just read, spoke up. Is it legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing, he asked. And they replied, are you from Galilee too? Search the scriptures and see for yourself. No prophet ever comes from Galilee. So Nicodemus speaks up for Jesus. He's getting bolder. He's getting more closer to the Lord. And finally, the last time we see Nicodemus is in John chapter 19. It was after Jesus had died on the cross. He comes with Joseph of Arimathea and asks for the body of Jesus, John 19:38. It says, afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought some 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. And then following the Jewish custom, they wrapped Jesus with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb never used. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. So Nicodemus starts coming to Jesus at night. He's kind of afraid. He's kind of fearful. He's a leader. He shouldn't be asking all these questions because he's one of the ones that ought to know. And Jesus is just a cult. He's not the real thing. Well, then his friends start really wanting to arrest Jesus and kill him, and he speaks up and says, hey, you can't convict a man without a trial. Finally, after Jesus does die on the cross, he comes with Joseph of Arimathea and asks for his body and goes and has it buried. And so I see a growing relationship with Nicodemus there in the Word of God. It proves to the scripture that says, seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. So Nicodemus would speak to you today and say, keep seeking. The Lord will be found by you and you will be better for it. Keep seeking after the Lord. Even if you don't understand everything about the Christian life, about the Bible, maybe you got a lot of questions and certain things just don't make sense. Just keep seeking. Just keep growing. Don't look back like Lot's wife, but keep going forward. Amen? Keep seeking and the Lord will be found. Number four, oh, some of you might not have heard of this one, but the man's name is Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. It's in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Lord told Moses to build an ark. Yes, I said Moses. I know Noah built an ark, but so did Moses. Noah built an ark to sail in because of the flood. Moses built an ark called the Ark of the Covenant, which was the visible representation of the presence of God in the Old Testament back when they were in the wilderness and so on. Check it out in Exodus 25 if you want to read about it. It was the visible presence of God. It was put into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies. And Moses was instructed how to build the Ark of the Covenant. At one point, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen and captured by the Philistines. And then later, King David and his men went to go get it back. And after a quite interesting turn of events, David had it sent to the home of Obed-Edom. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Hallelujah. 3 months of honoring the Lord's presence in his house brought great blessing upon Obed-Edom's household. Wow. The Lord blessed everything he had. Everything in his family, his entire household was blessed because of the presence of the Lord. I'm glad, church, that when we can say that when we come to Christ, we can experience the blessing of the Lord for a lifetime, not just 3 months. Amen? How many thus far in your life you've experienced the blessing of the Lord? Amen. So the life lesson is this: walk with the Lord and be blessed. Am I saying you're going to be a rich person and all the wealth in the world? Is that what I mean by blessing? No. You may not have any more money than you would have otherwise, but you're going to be blessed because the Lord is going to give you a peace that's beyond understanding. He's going to watch over you. He's going to take you through things and through problems and through trials. He may bless your finances. We do believe that he honors us when we put God first in our tithes and offering. We do preach that, that he opens up what? The windows of heaven, pours out blessing. But that isn't our motivation for serving God. There were some people back in the 70s and 80s especially that got off, I believe, off center and in the error because they believed that the blessing almost was more important than Jesus himself. Jesus was just the avenue to the blessing. And they started talking about, you know, we talk about the faith movement and the health and wealth and prosperity. And if you believe in God, he's going to make you rich. You're never, ever going to get sick and all that junk. I want to tell you, the Bible doesn't promise that. We don't get everything this side of heaven. I tell you, Mother Teresa there in India, whose foot I set foot in her house back in 2016, she didn't have a whole lot of things in this world. But I tell you what, she laid up a lot of treasure in heaven. Jesus is not an avenue to anything. He is the reward. And apart from Jesus are the blessings. He may bless your health. He may bless your finances. He may bless your circumstances and take you through. But that isn't the key and reason why you serve him. Because he also may do to you like he did Job and allow a lot of things to hit your life. Amen. We talked about Job here a while back. Be blessed. Are you glad you heard the good news? The greatest blessing of all is knowing Jesus as Savior. No, I want to tell you, David and I was talking about this morning. The greatest blessing of anything in the world is that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you stand before God, there's not one other thing that's going to matter. When you're standing there, you're going to hope to shout to God in Christ that they find your name. And there's only one way to put your name, and Nicodemus experienced it by being born again. By asking Christ to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart. When you come to Christ, it doesn't mean you'll never have a problem. You'll never have a trial. It doesn't mean you're never going to go through anything. You'll never have a storm. If a preacher tells you if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be perfect from here on, they're lying. It's not even found in the Bible. But he does say that I'll go with you. All the way. He will walk with us all the way home. L-M-N-O-P. Number five. Not Peter, not Paul, but a lady that's found in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, and her name is Phoebe. Phoebe. How many have heard of Phoebe? Yes. We learn in Romans 16, 1 and 2 about a lady named Phoebe. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially to me. Here we have a highly commended woman deacon, a deaconess. And the Apostle Paul says that she is worthy of honor. Why? Because it says in verse 2, because she has been helpful to many and especially to me. Evidently, in some way, she was a great help to the Apostle Paul. He doesn't spell out what she did, but he thought enough of what she did to put it there in the letter to the Romans. She was a great help. how awesome it is to have people who go out of their way just to help. Amen? Paul says, because of that, to give her whatever she needs. How many of you know the Bible says we reap what we sow? If we are always wanting to help people, then we will receive help in our time of need. Or if we are one that goes lifting others up and encouraging people, we're going to be encouraged. Whatever you plant is going to be reaped by you. The life lesson from Phoebe is this: be a good helper for God. Be a good helper for God. After all, he's the one we're doing it for. Whatever you might do for the Lord, we have a lot of people in our church that do a lot of things. Mow and clean and work in the nursery and teach a class and are a sponsor for girls ministry and Royal Rangers and youth and help make food for funerals and pray. And we could go on and on and on and on, drive a van, whatever we do for the Lord. Remember who you're doing it for. You're doing it for the Lord. If it's here in the church, I thank you that you're doing it for me in a way, indirectly, but I hope you remember you're not really doing it for me, you're doing it for the Lord. And because we're doing it for the Lord, it should make us want to do our best and be the best helper we can be. Phoebe is a great example of what the Lord told John in Revelation 14, 13. John wrote, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying," write this down, "blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds will follow them." Phoebe was an exact example of that verse. Phoebe's good deeds have followed her now for over 2,000 years. We are talking about her today because of the work she did and the life she lived many, many years ago. Her life still speaks because she was a big help. I want to tell you, we need Phoebes today. And we need Phillips today. Phoebe was a woman deacon. Philip was a man deacon. You may not officially be a deacon elected by this body, but you can be a deacon unofficially. A deacon is a servant. You can have a deacon's heart and a deacon ministry and not be Deacon Tim or deacon somebody else. Amen? Her life still speaks. Be a good helper for God. Along with the others we looked at today, Obed-Edom, walk with the Lord and be blessed. Through thick and thin, if I walk with the Lord and honor him, when I come to the end of my life, I'm going to say, man, I was so blessed. Nicodemus, keep seeking the Lord, following after him. Matthew, have a heart for the harvest. And Lot's wife, seriously follow Jesus and don't look back. In conclusion, musicians, would you come? Some of you are wondering, man, has Pastor Steve got COVID? He sure is coughing. No, I tested yesterday and I was negative, so don't worry. I did the rapid test and it was negative. I was a little worried. I thought, man, maybe I got that. Next time I preach on September the 5th, Labor Day weekend, we will look at five more Q, R, S, T, and U. But in the meantime, let's ask the Lord to help us put into practice what we have heard. Amen? And also remember that our own life, I was going to bring this out at the last one, but I'm going to throw it out here for a moment. Our own life right now, your life, my life, your life, my life, is sending out its own life lesson right now. Our life is speaking a lesson. What are we preaching? What are we saying? What's coming to people from our life? Father God, I pray that you help us, Lord Jesus, to have good life lessons from our own life. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to put into practice some of the things we've heard today. I pray, Father God, if there's anyone here today that is not right with you, Jesus, they don't know you in their heart. Maybe they're like Nicodemus. They're still exploring. They came to church today and because they've got some questions about Jesus and they don't know for sure if they're a believer. Lord, I pray right now that you would speak to their heart and that they would say, Jesus, I want you as my Savior. Lord, I pray for others here today who are struggling with some kind of problem or sickness. I pray that you would just help them to realize that you're not only the Savior, but you're the healer. And Lord, we can come to you for help and for healing. Lord, I pray if we're lacking boldness and we're lacking power to witness, I thank you, Lord, that you provided the Holy Spirit to help us to be the witness that we should be, to put the power of God in our hearts. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. As the team sings a final song here, I'd like for those who you'd like prayer, if you just want to pray, come around the altars and pray. Let's seek the Lord. But if you need special prayer, Pastor Phil, myself, will be right down here. We'll anoint you with oil, pray for you. If you need salvation, come forward. Let us pray with you. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, healing, whatever you need, let us pray with you. Would you just stand and give the Lord praise? Lift your hands to the Lord and praise Him and thank Him. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. There's no wall that's too tall for you. Lord, there's no river that's too wide for you, no valley too deep for you, no mountain that we cannot see moved in your name. Oh, Jesus, Lord, we look to you right now. We pray, God, your kingdom come and your will be done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we go, would you just take the hand of that person you're standing by? Can we just pray for one another? Just pray for one another right now across this sanctuary. Just pray. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're going through. You may not even know their name, but just call them to the Lord and say, Lord, touch them right now. God, as we pray for brothers and sisters in the Lord right now, we pray your will be done in their lives. God, whatever it is they're facing, whatever battle they may be staring them in the face, Father God, I pray that you just give them grace, that you would give them power, that you would give them perseverance, Lord, to continue to look forward, not look back, but to continue to look forward and grow forward and go forward in you, we pray. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask Pastor Phil to dismiss us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons we can learn and the principles that can be taught to us through the people of the Bible and the Scripture. Lord, may we lean upon one another. And Lord, may we continue to read your word. Lord, to hide it in our heart. Lord, that it may, the truths of it may be found in the times when we most so desperately need them. Lord, I pray for peace over every person in this room today. I pray for encouragement. I pray against the spirit of discouragement. I pray against the spirit of illness. And I pray, Lord, for healing. And Lord, most of all, God, I pray, Lord, for us to live in what your word says, which is that we are more than overcomers through you, Christ Jesus. May we overcome many obstacles this week, not because of what we do, but because of what you do through us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed.